I have a thought. We've been talking the last few Sundays about holiness and about the beauty of holiness and how that it's a great necessity in our Christian life to not only recognize it, but to embrace it and to portray it to the world around us. And I have a little thought that's not exactly that realm this morning, but I believe it can be an accessory to our mindset of recognizing we must live an upright life before God. We must live in a manner that He can put His approval on. And I'm thinking about a word this morning. Maybe I'll put it on the board. And the word is precedent. I'm thinking this morning is a definition. Got this out of the dictionary. It says something done or said that may serve or be adduced as an example to authorize a subsequent act of the like kind. Now that sounds like dictionary talk, doesn't it? This word adduced means to bring forward, to present, or offer. So it's something, a precedent is something that is done or said. So it might be an action, it might be words that serve to be presented or offered as an example to authorize a subsequent act of the like kind. In other words, it's a precedent is something that is a forerunner for a trend, if we could say it that way. And we all know that it's easier to look back in time and see trends that have developed. It's easier to look back and say, well, there was something called the Enlightenment Age, and there was something that was called the Modern Age, and now we feel like we're past that, or we live in the postmodern age. But it's as things transpire from one to the next in ages of time in our society, it's hard to recognize exactly when it begins. But there is something called a precedent that is established, and then there's a trend that seems to follow that. So I'm not wanting to talk about ages today or anything, but I want to talk about a precedent. And you know, precedent that we are subjected to, and precedences that we allow to become established in our own lives, things that we put there either on purpose or without thought at all, have a real tendency to either help us portray the holiness that God would like for us to portray, or it can cause it to be sabotaged to where what is portrayed to the world around us is not the beauty of holiness. So I'd like for us to just keep that in mind as we look into our thought today. Some of the things that sometimes we as individuals don't really recognize or realize when a precedent is being made. But we all recognize it when they're referred to in past tense. And here's what I mean by that. As a parent, sometimes we are faced with our children saying something like, well, everyone else is doing it. You ever heard that? And the reason that they say that is because there was a precedent set, and whatever caused that precedent to be set, there was someone else that followed that precedent, and now we have numerous people following that precedent, and the next thing you know, someone says everyone else is doing it, and we didn't even realize that there was a precedent that was set. Now, a precedent could be something as far as an article of clothing. It can be the way somebody wears clothing. Someone was telling me just recently that even though people from other countries might have some of the same types of clothing we do here in the United States, that many times people can pick out citizens of the U.S. just by the way they wear their clothing. There's a precedent there, you see. Another way that we recognize that there is has been a precedent is in the body of Christians, we might hear someone say, well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so did that. And we recognize that they are observing a precedent that has already been established. It's kind of past tense, and it may have kind of slipped by us or skipped us. So I'm trying for us to understand how precedents will affect us today. Sometimes there's a precedent that is established when somebody makes a comment like, show me where it says that something is wrong, or show me where it says this is what I have to do or this is the right thing to do. And there's a precedent that's behind that. And at that moment, when we hear these kind of phrases, we recognize that there's been a precedent that's already in place, and it's being put in place, and sometimes we don't know what to do with that. Well, I'd like to turn to an example of what I feel like there was a good precedent, but a bad situation. I'd like to turn to 1 Samuel, the 31st chapter. And we have the story here of the last battle that King Saul was involved in. And King Saul was a man that had displeased God. He had been anointed as king, and then he failed to follow through with God's command and instructions, and Samuel had told him that his kingdom would be taken from him and given to someone else, and we know that David was anointed king. But Saul continued to reign after he displeased God, and in displeasing the Lord and continuing to reign, he got in a terrible situation that God didn't go before him when he went into battle. So we find here in 1 Samuel 31 the scene of him being in battle against the Philistines. And there is something I want us to get here. It says now in verse 1, now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down, slain in Mount Gibeah. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor-bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died and his three sons and his armor-bearer and all his men that same day together. Okay. It's a bad situation, a defeat at the hands of the enemy. But there was a precedent that was good that I feel like we need to realize. I heard someone making some comments about King Saul as a father, and the comments this person made, it's been a number of years ago that I heard this now, was that as a father, Saul was a better father than David was. And I thought about that a little bit. But I recognize here that there had to be a precedence established that greatly impacted these sons of Saul. These sons of Saul were with him in battle, in his last battle. And the precedence that God established was that Saul spent time with his boys. Saul spent time establishing a relationship with his children, with his sons, in such a way that his sons were devoted to him. And this was a real precedence. And I would just like to tell you this morning, as a father, it's very important to establish that precedence of building a relationship with your children. And Saul had one more son that was not with them, but the vast majority of his sons was right there with him, even though it was a very bad situation. And I tell you, as a father, it means something to me when I see my sons helping me in something that I'm endeavoring to do, whether they're right there with me or they're helping in the whole project. And it happens because there's been a precedence that's been set. There's been something put in place. There's been something that, as our definition said, it's something that's done or said that may serve as an example to authorize subsequent acts or acts of the like kind later on down the road. You want your children to spend time with you, then we have to spend time with them. We have to cultivate a relationship with them if we want them to want to spend time with us. And that's called a precedence. And I believe that Saul included his sons in whatever he was doing and his purpose. Saul was a king that was, I know there's some debate about this, but he was a king most likely for close to 40 years at least. In the New Testament, that's what it says. He was a king for about 40 years in Israel. And this was at the end of his reign. So there had been something in those 40 years of his reign, and his sons growing up around him, that his sons were devoted to him. They'd have to be, because they knew that their father was not in a place where he was really meeting God's expectations. They already knew that. Jonathan specifically knew that David had been anointed king to take his father's place. And yet, Jonathan was with his dad. I'm going to tell you, there had been a precedence established there that was hard to, it's hard to understand the magnitude of the power of that precedence. A precedence will have power in our individual, it will affect us and impact us and cause us to look at life and look at things going on around us from a perspective that's been established by that precedence. Now I'd like to turn to another example. I believe that the precedence of Saul and his sons being together was a positive thing, although it ended in a very negative situation. But I'd like for us to look at a very negative precedence that was established, and I'd like to turn to the book of Mark in the New Testament and look in chapter 7. In the book of Mark, I'm going to read beginning in verse 1, chapter 7. He says here, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem, when they saw some of the disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? And he answered and said unto them, Well hath Esaias prophesied of you, hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, for laying aside the commandments of God, they hold to the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do. So there had been a precedence established that you got to wash everything. And not just once, but if you washed it and put it... I get this picture in my mind of our households today. And I hope I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, but at our house, I'll just put it this way. At our house, after the dishes are used at the table, we put them in the dishwasher or wash them by hand. And then when they're clean, we put them away in the cupboard. And when we get ready to use them for the next meal, we take them out of the cupboard and we put them on the table. We don't wash them again before we use them. But I'm guessing that there's probably somebody somewhere, somebody maybe you know, that when they go to use their glasses to drink out of, they'll wash it again before they use it. You ever know anybody like that? And they might take the plates out of the cabinet, they washed them and put them away, and then when they go to use it again, they'll wash that plate again and then put it on the table. I hope I'm not offending anybody here, but you know, there can be a precedent set there by just much washing. And this is what Jesus was pointing out. You folks have set a precedence of washing and washing and washing. And everything you wash before you do and after you do. And there's things that we ought to wash before and after. There's things that we ought to wash our hands before we do. And after we're finished, we ought to wash our hands again. Okay? But they had set a precedence that if you didn't do this, you was wrong. You were being offensive to God. So I'm trying for us to help understand here this morning that there are precedences that can be established in our life that's a good thing. It's a positive thing. It causes us to be devoted to the cause of God. There's precedences that can be set that can get our focus off of really living for God and just following some kind of routine. So we have to ask ourselves a question. What kind of precedences have affected me in my life? And what kind of precedences am I setting for those that come after me? I want to tell you some of the precedences that have impacted me. And I have to go back to my home that I grew up in. And you've heard some of these things, and maybe all of them, so bear with me. My parents were good parents. Yes, they had some shortcomings, and I recognized them as I got older, and especially during that age time when I thought I knew more than my parents. I thought they did a lot of things wrong. But, you know, I've grown to appreciate my parents and the precedents they set in my life. You know, my parents set a precedence in my life of having family worship with my brother and I. And we would read from the scripture, or we would read from a Bible story, and we would have prayer before we went to bed. And that's been a precedence that was set in my life, and it's impacted me. And my father worked nights, and he wasn't there in the morning when we left for school, but my mother would always read something to us, a devotion or something in the morning, and pray with us before we went to school. And I remember that when our family got in the car, we didn't do this when we was going uptown to buy groceries, but we get in the car and maybe we were all packed, and my mother was always like, oh, I hope I got it all, just like probably a lot of other mothers are. We got in the car and we were going on vacation or someplace like that. And before Dad would start the car, many times we would bow our heads in the car and have prayer and ask God to go with us and protect us. Now, that's a precedence that my family set in my life. And the precedence of being consistent, of going to service, my parents set that precedence, and it's impacted me. Those of you that know me, you know how it's impacted. It's caused me to, by and large, I've tried to embrace those precedences in my life. And you know, I think about how easy it is to establish a different precedence for the next generation. You know, it would be easy for me to set a precedence of, boys, I'm tired. Let's just go to bed. I'm just getting in the car, and we should have been on the road 20 minutes ago. We are going to be late, and go tearing out of the driveway and scratching off. And you know, we could set a different precedence, and you know that precedence is going to be like the washings of the Pharisees. You know, it's so important to them to wash those pots, to wash their hands, instead of taking time to make sure they was connected with God. And my parents didn't do that for me. They set a different precedence for me. But it would have been easy. There's been times that it's like, oh, this is such a load to keep that. But I'm going to tell you, it pays dividends. So I want to tell you all, if you haven't had good precedences in your life, you can start setting those precedences. You know, you think of the time that Joshua said, "It's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." He established something there, and he has set a precedence. We're going to make a change here. I don't know what it had been like before, but from now on, it's going to be like this. I remember one time, sitting in a class. I was in one of my first classes I sat in for computerized transmission controls. And we were sitting in this class, and part of the exercise that we did out in the shop was to connect a piece of equipment and do some tests on a particular vehicle. And so the group that I was with, we went out and we was trying to follow the instruction in the worksheet. And we wasn't getting the answer that we were supposed to be getting. And we were going down the wrong path, the instructor thought. So he come by and asked us what we were doing. And I explained to him what we did and what unhooked the connector that the book told us to unhook and all of that. And so he didn't like what we was doing. So he called us all back into the little classroom or conference room, and he starts telling us how that we have to, this one certain connector, we'd unhooked the right one. So for him anyway. But anyway, he said, from now on, this is the bulkhead connector. That's the one we're supposed to unhook. From now on, that's a precedence, you see. That's what Joshua said, wasn't it? From this day forward, you know, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And this instructor said, from now on, this is the bulkhead connector. And I thought, oh, what did I say? Because I knew that wasn't right. So, and this fella, he'd always just, every time I'd went to a class, he'd always just kind of agitated me just a little bit. So you know how it is being in those places. So finally I spoke up and I said, sir, I said, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I said, you know, if we go back to the shop, and I said, not every vehicle has a connector you're talking about, but I said, they all have the bulkhead connector on the transmission. And I said, if we don't establish what the bulkhead connector is, I said, we're going to get the wrong answer when we get out there and we're trying to fix somebody's car. I said, the bulkhead connector is the one on the transmission, not the one up in the wiring harness that you're trying to tell us. And he looked at me for a while, and it was like, I thought he was going to say, why don't you just go home? That's what I was afraid he might say. But he looked at me for a while, and he finally turned to everybody else in the class, and he said, "Is what he's saying right?" And they was all afraid to say something, I think. Anyway, it all turned out good. And I was so, you know, later on, I was sat in that man's class, and he always, the whole atmosphere changed. And, you know, there could have been a precedent set there, and there could have been a whole bunch of people go home and replace the wrong parts. Could be out in the bushes somewhere, you see. And so it's important for us, as we set precedent, you're going to set some precedences in your house. As far as for me and my house, we're going to do this, or we're not going to do this. I've told my wife here recently a couple times, I think one of the most courageous things that a parent ever does is address something with their children that they feel is doing wrong. I'm talking about after they're looking you in the eye, you know, after they're past adolescence, you know, and they're trying to find their footing as an adult and all of that, and they're taking a path that you don't really approve. I'm going to tell you, one of the most courageous things you can do is take them aside and say, "Son or daughter, you know, I don't approve of the path you're taking. And I want you to know that I love you, but this is something that you need to change. This is something that's a very courageous thing to do." And, you know, the precedences you set. You can either set precedences of washing pots and pans, or you can set precedences that will give your children and those around you values that will help them and that will cause you to stick together in the times of distress. And I think about the precedences that you and I establish in our lives as far as outward appearance. This kind of goes along with our thoughts last Sunday on the beauty of holiness. You know, you can set a precedence, and the next person that comes along can say, "Well, Sister so-and-so does it, or Brother so-and-so does this, or everybody's doing it, or show me where that's wrong, or show me where I have to do something different." And you realize there's been a precedence that's been set. And you realize there's something bigger than just, "I've got some reservations here. I think, well, there's been a precedence that's set." And it's hard to, you know, we have precedence that's set in our court systems. A judge makes a ruling on a case in a particular line. And, you know, the next case that comes up, they will reference that precedence that was set. It may have been decided by a jury. It may have been decided by a very respected judge or a respected court. And there will be a precedent set that other people will refer to and try to influence the decision that's on the table. I'd like to turn to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, and notice a passage of Scripture here. And as we talk about these things this morning, I just want to invite you to consider the precedences that you have set in your life and the precedences that have impacted you. But I want to begin reading in verse 29 here. It says, "In those days," I believe he's talking about something besides his contemporary time that he lives in. He says, "In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge." Now, you know, we that are older, if I'm older than you, then I can set a precedence for you. If you're older than me, then you can set precedences for me. And you know, as we set precedences in our life, there are those that's looking on that may not fully be able to understand the impact of it, and they may fall prey to the precedence that's been set. may not be able to make a decision for themselves. And when they do that, then their teeth are going to be set on edge. They're not going to be able to, you might say, receive the full benefit of living for God, if that's the case. I want to go on here. He says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. They shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest, For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." The Lord wants us to have an individual relationship with Him. One that the precedence that has been set by the past doesn't have to impact us. There have been those that have come from a negative background. One that precedences have been set in their lives that should have set them up for failure. Maybe turmoil and distress. Maybe conflict in the home. Maybe substance abuse of some kind. And you think, well, that's a precedence that was set in my life. And it will impact us. I promise it will. But as those precedences have been... It doesn't have to set the children's teeth on edge. He said here, "Behold, the days come." That's the day we live in. The day we live in, it doesn't have to damage your life. It doesn't have to rule your life. It doesn't have to control you, but you can set the precedence in your life that God would have you. You can see the beauty of holiness, and you can rise above whatever negative precedence that was set in your life. You can come beyond that, and the Lord can help you to portray His beauty in the world that we live in. You know, there's been people, I've heard stories of people that have lived in such negative environments, such destructive things, things that were unwholesome, things that were literally unhealthy, things that were, people just don't hardly survive in those conditions. And they've come out of that and made something out of themselves. They didn't fall prey to that precedence that was set there. And that is the beauty of the gospel for us today. I want us to realize that, yes, precedence does impact us, but we've got to acknowledge it for what it is and say, Lord, if this is not right, if this is just washing of the pots and pans, if this is some precedence that will bring me to destruction and put my teeth on edge, Lord, help me to get shed of it. Let me get rid of it. You know, if there's some kind of habit that my family has had, I've told you about people that had habits that I thought was very unprofessional. Had a man that I worked with. He was a service writer talking to customers, and every time he would get a little nervous, he would go to picking his nose. And it was like, why do you do that right in front? I mean, you're talking to this man and trying to explain some technical thing that's wrong with his car, and he starts picking it. Don't do that. It doesn't mean that because he did it, everybody else had to do it. You know, we don't have to do that. And if just because your parents screamed and hollered at one another doesn't mean you have to scream and holler at your spouse. Just because that that there was something going on in the home that shouldn't have been doesn't mean we have to do it. Yes, we can fall prey to that. But Lord, help us to set precedences that will impact people for good. I'm thankful for the good precedences that have been established before me. I'm very thankful for that. But I know that if I don't establish good precedences for those following after me, that somebody is going to use it for an excuse to do the wrong thing. Somebody's going to say, well, Brother Danny did that. You know, it don't make it right. It just don't make it right. But it needs to be, what we do set as a precedence needs to be right. We need to set right precedence, but it doesn't make it right just because we do it. Lord, help us to set precedences that will cause other people to draw closer to the Lord and to be able to portray the beauty of holiness in the world that we live in. I just have a big challenge this morning for you younger generation that's coming on, your homes, your families. If you don't have a home and a family and you do someday, I want you to be very careful to set the precedences that will make your children feel safe, feel secure, be wholesome, and know how to portray the beauty of holiness in the world around us. You pray for me.